There he is. Hey,
Can you hear
what?
me?
Yeah, I hear you. And
Okay.
let's see, there I am. Okay. How's it going?
Hanging in there, how are you?
All
Sounds
right.
sleepy.
So I just need to plug this in. I think we are good to go. All right, checking the mic, and I don't know if Meredith can hear me. And then, Devin, you're there. Still all good, right?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay, so I think we're good. Awesome. All right, so I just texted her. I think we're good. I don't know why that level's so low. Still getting a couple glitches out, but hopefully nothing like before, Devin. We had a couple interesting ones there.
Yeah, well, I was saying last time you guys were having some technical issues.
It was kind of weird stuff on my end, which I think I figured out kind of what it is. There's a few things with setting up and how you, the like the order in which you have to set things up on my end.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it's a little bit. It's just funny. Yeah. But I think since I've done it a certain way, it hasn't been a problem. So I guess what we'll do is launch right into it, right at 410.
All right.
Any musical requests? I'm a little frazzled. Sorry, I came in pretty late. But do you have any music up your sleeve? I haven't asked you that in a while, but.
I know. Well, we used to always play The Clash, some Joe Strummer.
That's right.
I know, that's how like our go-to band.
That's right. I think we should play some Clash. That's a great way to start off the show. All right. And welcome back, by the way.
I know, I feel like has it been, no, it's only been 1 month that I missed.
You
It's away for something.
just missed the one with Will, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because April, the end of April I missed because I was away. Yeah, and then we just missed last week, and that's why. Now I'm here.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I don't know if Meredith. I'm just gonna make sure Meredith can hear us. Yeah, it's been great. Like no glitches at all. Knock on wood. I shouldn't say anything. I'm gonna jinx it if I'm not careful here. Yep, there we go. All right. And where are you? Where did you go? You went on vacation, right?
Yeah, me and Becca, we were in Italy
Oh,
for,
right.
yeah, so super cool little trip. Got to go to a few different places, spent a lot of time in Venice, which I keep telling everyone, and I sound pretty, nose up in the air about this. I'm like, you don't need more than a few days in Venice, not gonna lie. Have you ever been over there before?
I've never been to Italy. No, I
Yeah.
have not.
Well, if you do, it's worth it to stop by Venice for a couple of nights, but then, all the beautiful canals, the beautiful alleyways, all the beautiful buildings, they all start to, you're like, huh, okay, beautiful stuff, beautiful stuff, beautiful stuff, and it all starts to mold together.
All
And also
right.
the food is okay. It's only okay.
Awesome. So I think we're launching right into it now. I think it is time for the Monday afternoon show. Hope folks, that's not music in the background, so hold on, just bear with me. Not music in the background here at all. Interesting. So hopefully the audio is okay for people. Welcome to the Monday afternoon show. I can hear Devin. Devin can hear me. We have Devin Connolly on the line right now. Cornell Cooperative Extension updates coming your way right now. Devin, welcome back to the Monday afternoon show, and welcome back to the United States from your little trip abroad.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kieran. I had a lot of fun, but I'm also very, very happy to be back. Found out in while I was away that the Italians do not incorporate a lot of vegetables into a lot of their into a lot of their meals, surprisingly. At least
Really?
not in northern Italy. I wasn't having a lot of good luck. everything was a lot of base of bread, cured meat, and cheese.
Right.
Different little ways of like different combinations of those sort of things.
It kind of defies what I think a lot of people probably think about the Italians. It's just lush acres of so many vegetables with minestrone soup coming out their ears.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a lot of tomatoes though, right? They're big on the tomato.
I think, yeah. So in southern Italy, actually, there's more tomatoes, and especially so as you get further down. But most of the time, I was in like northern Italy, so it's sort of like rice and polenta. They're like, you know, they're big ones.
Rice, polenta. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And then
they get into more. Yeah, and they get into like more of the white sauces as well. So you get more dairy focus.
Cool.
It's stunning how different each region is. You know, they've had all this time to just be like, this is what our identity is.
Unbelievable. Well, welcome back. So glad you could get over there. It's definitely on my list to get to Italy. You always hear about the food, the good old food. I know a lot of Italians on this side of the pond and ones who like to eat and cook and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Cornell Cooperative Extension, of course, you guys do a lot with the agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anything else you wanted to mention just about the agriculture over there? I had this opinion of the Italians of being more like purists. They, from what I've heard from people who have traveled over there, they're very organic-minded. They're not big on the chemicals and industrial farming. They're just like very healthy in a lot of ways with their agriculture. Did you get a glimpse of that at all?
I mean, so one of the places we went to was this place called Cinque Terre, Cinque Terre, and it's a national park that has like, you know, five towns that are really close together. For listeners to have seen the Pixar movie Luca, it's, you know, that was based off of these five towns. They're like towns that are built into the cliffside. It's very arid. It's extremely, very dry, very steep, very rocky. Yet 1,000 years ago, they're all just like, This is where we'll grow some grapes. And so now they have this like sort of like, you know, tourism that's built around seeing how these like grapes are grown. It's like too steep to like, you know, bring like beasts of burden or just even like, you know, any sort of heavy machinery. And I saw a couple of signs that the farmers had stuck up, and they call it heroic art agriculture, which was a phrase that I really liked.
Could you say that again? What's it called?
Heroic agriculture.
Ah, cool.
So I feel like there must be some folks, you know, who must have been, you know, especially when the Catskill Mountains were all, you know, farmland at some point, who must have been like, that's exactly what this feels like.
Wow. Awesome. Well, welcome back again, Devin. Good to have you with us. And thanks again to Will McCall for calling in last month to cover you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Will.
Yeah, we had a great chat. So what do you got going on over there at Cornell Cooperative Extension?
All right, so just a few classes coming up this June. We're getting ready to put out our next quarterly update, so watch out for that. That'll drop on the probably around the 15th. Class, and this is a sensory-safe bunny space. This is an inclusive event designed for children and young adults on the autism spectrum, where you can meet bunnies in a safe and supportive environment. You get to meet the bunnies, you'll be able to properly, and if there are any kids or young adults who are on the spectrum who have like a fear of animals, this could be a great time to like gain confidence and try to use some more like, you know, animal social skills. So this will be happening June 5th. So just a couple of days from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Bunnies will be out. Feel free to show up. Please register if you can at our website at ccecolumbiagreen.org/events. If you cannot make this one, however, there will be another class being held on July 10th from 3 to 4, a little bit later in the day. Again, this is a great opportunity. We love working with this organization, Think Differently. They have a really good cause. So if you could come out, please do. And this course is completely accessible. So yeah, just feel free to stop by.
Sounds good. Sounds real good, bud.
All right. Next. I think I always love how, I think you always loved hearing about this class, but our anger management spring series is starting up again. And that's a 12-week course starting on, actually, never mind. Sorry. This one is actually ending. I'm just reading the schedule wrong. But we do have a summer one, though. We'll be starting soon. That'll probably be the next update. moving on. We have a plein air class series. This will be with artist Louis Messia. He's originally from New York City. He's exhibited in group and solo shows. He makes these wonderful pastels and oil paintings. If you want to see some of his work, you can head to his website, which is on our website, ccecolumbiagreen.org. How many classes do we have here? This will be on June 8th, June 15th, June 12th, June 29th. July 13th and July 20th. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 whole classes that you'll be signing up for. You do not need to attend all of them, but we would, you know, obviously it's better to attend as many as you can. These classes have a strong emphasis that we place on color, structure, and composition and capturing the ever-changing natural light. They'll take place in our model forest, which is just across the street from the Agroforestry Resource Center in Accra. And so you'll be able to do two things, see the model forest, and learning how to paint.
Painting and forestry together. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Next one is just a small shout out, June 15th. If you have any questions for the Master Gardeners, we will have the Master Gardeners at the Hudson's Farmers Market. So they will have a stand. They will be taking soil samples. There are instructions on our website on how to take a soil sample properly. Where are the different spots, how to mix it up, and they will be able to tell you the pH. I believe there is a cost to it, though. They will answer any other questions you might have. They're fantastic to talk to. We're also really excited because we just had our Master Gardener graduation. So where, you know, we've had some other folks who have been taking lessons going on, you know, going to class for about 4 months now. They started in the fall, and they will be, they just graduated, which, you know, is a lot of work. Sometimes, you know, they go home. I was talking to one of them, like, yeah, I had like 2 or 3 hours of homework, like a night. It's like going back to school. And really proud. We're also really happy because it's our largest class ever. I think that I don't know the exact number, but we had at least 20 plus folks who are now coming into the Master Gardener program, which is just absolutely wonderful for us. We're so excited to see those many people interested in not only, you know, interacting with the Master Gardeners, but wanting to become these volunteers. So, yeah, come check them out. Talk to them at the Hudson Farmers Market on June 15th in the city of Hudson. And then finally, last thing we have going on, we have our outdoor mushroom farming series starting up again. This is our part one, log inoculation, the basics. If you're interested in exploring how to grow mushrooms, to start a small-scale mushroom operation, participants of this workshop will learn various techniques for growing different species of mushrooms. You can use a variety of materials. This will be a focus on shiitake. You can talk to our instructors about our educators on, you know, other mushrooms you can do as well, but shiitake will be the main focus here. This will be a hands-on experience. You'll be inoculating wood with shiitake spawn, and each participant will be able to bring home one of their own inoculated logs for at-home production. Again, this is part of part one, a three-part series. Each one is supposed to build on each other. And also, this workshop is made possible by the Edwards Mother Earth Foundation, so we love to give them a great shout-out because, you know, without them, this wouldn't be an accessible program. But that's it. Awesome. If you want to sign up for any of those programs, go to ccecolumbiagreen.org/events.
So cool. I love the mushroom stuff. Actually, there's a listener who is a mushroom lover who is giving a shout out right now from Chatham. She's actually gardening up in Chatham Center. Big shout out to Abby, who's a big fan of the mushroom world. She found a bunch of morels recently. I only found two.
I am on a quest to find morels. I've never found them. I found so many dead elm trees, the searching, and they have not shown themselves to me. I'm very just waiting for the day. I hear it's more like they have to find you, is what I understand.
They can be really elusive. They're little elusive little buggers, those little morales they are. And I know they're out there. And I walk the dog in the woods like every single day. And a lot of times I'm spacing out or deep in thought and I forget to look. And then other times I'm just looking, and I'm like, there's no way. There's no way that I'm going to find one. But, you know, and then all of a sudden, boom, it'll just pop out right in front of your face. They're pretty cool. Yeah.
If you find those morels, mark that location down. That's a place to go back to.
Yeah. But that's great. So the shiitake inoculation action there, that's good, fun stuff right there. I love mushrooms. Mushrooms are great. Fungi. And, you know, I had another listener ask we about the anger management.
Mm-hmm.
She said, have you ever had anyone come to talk about anger management specifically on my radio show? And I don't know if I actually really have. Of course, you talk about the class a bunch.
Yeah. I can't give any good insight into anything besides announcing the class, but, maybe in the future I can talk to the instructor. We have had two people that have taught the class, and we could probably bring her on one of these days if you ever want to have a conversation about it.
I think it would be a great topic on the radio show, especially my radio show, because people know I get PO'd about things in life sometime. But it's just a really good topic, I think, that should be talked about more, especially these days, right now. Like, there's just so much in the air right now, just in general.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's bad for children and all living things, sort of like war.
Yeah. No, I would love to listen to that on the show.
All right.
So I think I have questions that I don't even know the answers to. Like, what about anger that's not just violent and outbursting? What about, like, the silent anger that people have?
Yeah.
You know, what that turns out to be like, and how do you deal with that?
Oh, my God. I did a paint job on a church in downtown Great Barrington. It's done now, right by the library. And it's at a location on Main Street where the lanes change from 2 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
A big merge in downtown Great Barrington. And you would not believe the stuff that I saw on a daily basis. Just vitriol. Just screaming, bloody, murderous vitriol. It's like, guys, it goes from 2 lanes to 1. It's a pretty common traffic practice. Just get it together.
I feel like this could be something you can record and highlight on WGXC.
Yeah. I mean, not only would it be
best of the merge.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't just be like a physical, actual, like, transportation traffic study. It would be like a psychological, psychiatric study in human behavior as well. So, yeah, I think we might have something here.
Yeah. All right.
Oh,
I expect
for
this to happen.
Okay.
Again.
All right. We'll talk more. Devin Connolly from Cornell Cooperative Extension. Thank you again for all the updates and classes and events going on your neck of the woods. Again, folks, the website is CCEColumbiaGreen.org. Did I get that right? I think so.
Yeah, that's okay. Perfect.
Great. Finally, after how long I memorized it. Okay, great. Devin, we'll enjoy the rest of your Monday.
All right, thanks so much, Karen. Have a good one.
All right, you too, bud.
Okay, bye-bye.
And big shout out to Abby again. And per request of, well, myself and Devin, we came up with this a long time ago that we kind of similar taste in The Clash. So we're going to kick off the musical section of the Monday Afternoon Show with The Clash. This is Radio Clash, and this is the Monday Afternoon Show with your host, Kieran, till 6 p.m.
All programs. This is Radio Clash on Pirate Satellite. Orbiting your living room, cashing in the Bill of Rights. Human army surplus or refusing of the lights. This is Radio Clash on Pirate Satellite. Shadow of the white right hand. Then that's is an urban Vietnam, giving deadly exhibitions of murder by napalm.
Yeah. between the lines of a song. I thought I saw your face. Oh my God, could that be you? Put a light was in my eye. You were gone before I knew.
Rolling and rolling and rolling, thunder, sun or rain.
How did we get here and where will we go? When will I see you again? So good to see you again. Some will leave their home for fortune or for fame, to seek what they can find, then come back home again. And some will have no option, for home is home no more. Lost upon the ocean, lonely on the shore. Here and where will we go? When will I see you again? So good to see you again.
So good, so good to see you again.
Like thunder made it come, the shotgun of the land, they came to set us free. They left with all we had. And when we followed after, for where were we to go? We were deemed dangerous ones, borders, they were closed.
Rolling and rolling and rolling, thunder, sun or rain.
How did we get here and where will we go? When will I see you again? So good to see you again.
So good to see you again.
You slipped out from my arms as the waters faded rise. I called and called your name when the rescue boat arrived. I thought I saw your face. Oh my God, could that be you? But a light was in my eye. You were gone before I knew.
Rolling and rolling and rolling, thunder, sun or rain.
How did we get here and where will we go? When will I see you again? So good to see you again.
What's going on in Jerusalem? Jerusalem, Jerusalem.
My father told of terror times, feeling guilty to survive. Fleeing from the Nazi lines, he came to New York town.
But when McCarthy came along, he lost his house, he lost his job. I whispered to my child unborn, we are going home.
What's going on in Jerusalem? What's going on in the promised land? What's going on in Jerusalem? Jerusalem, Jerusalem.
That promised land, so full of hopes and dreams and plans. I taught my child what's right and wrong, and sang him songs of peace. It's little then did I believe he'd have a gun at just 18. This killing to stop killing mean that war will never cease.
Oh, what's going on in Jerusalem? What's going on in the promised land? What's going on in Jerusalem? Jerusalem, Jerusalem.
Stay. I'm losing right and wrong. No matter what I tried to say, in dead of night he stole away. From New York town he wrote to say, what is going on?
What's going on in Jerusalem? What's going on in the promised land? What's going on in Jerusalem? Jerusalem, Jerusalem. What's going on in Jerusalem? What's going on in the promised land? What's going on in Jerusalem? Jerusalem, Jerusalem.
Going on in Jerusalem. That was Tommy Sands out of Northern Ireland, right outside of Belfast, a good dear friend who's been on the Monday afternoon show before from Ireland, believe it or not. Tommy Sands with a double whammy, a double back-to-back right there off his album Fair Play to You All. We started with the song Refugees, followed by the next song on the album after that, which is What's Going On in Jerusalem. What is going on? So we have right now on the line with us to tell us what's going on at Wayne State University in Detroit, Michigan, we have coincidentally Wayne calling, not the Wayne from Wayne State, but Wayne Cove from Chatham, New York, here in Columbia County. On the phone with us right now, Wayne, thanks so much for calling in the Monday afternoon show.
Hey, Karen. Somehow this artist from Chatham, New York has become a reporter. So this is Wayne reporting from Wayne State University, Detroit, Michigan. This last week was an eventful one. I was going to have a performance and also an opening at Elaine Jacob Gallery in Wayne State. This has been long organized, planned, paid for. And I got a very odd phone call. I think it was Tuesday. I've sent Kieran a copy of it. We might play it. saying there was something up, something wrong, and I immediately thought about student protests, but I didn't know any details, and I looked up, and sure enough, students were protesting genocide. They wanted their school to cease investing in the destruction of universities. Israel has destroyed 459 universities and schools in Gaza, all of them. And so students rightfully, respectfully, do not want their university fees being sent to bomb-making companies to destroy every, you know, to culturally destroy the Palestinian education system. And so all across the United States, students are protesting. And the universities have been trying to come up with strategies whereby they could essentially hide violent police crackdowns, instead of police, I should say, military crackdowns on these students. And the current strategy, as was deployed at Wayne State University, I was a witness to. So first there is a vacating of the student population on campus, which is, I mean, what a ripoff. I mean, the students are paying for live education and they steal it and they kick them off campuses so they can set conditions saying, you know, students shouldn't be on campuses. The second benefit to them is it removes all witnesses. Then they give an ultimatum to the students. Again, the CBS and all those people are being told one story, vilifying students, and the villainous administration is doing another. So I saw they actually sent a representative of the school down to say, you know, come talk with us, we believe in community, blah, blah, blah. But that person was a front. As soon as they got back, they said the students had refused to meet with us, which was a complete lie. They were planning, you know, what they were going to say, how they were going to run the meeting, etc. And then in the middle of the night at 5 a.m., they bring in the riot gear and the police, and they tear the place apart and drive off the students and arrest them without cause. If there is a cause, it's because they changed the rules within the last week. And so this is becoming, you know, for all those students who want to protest, they should look at this little package of, you know, violent suppression, the deployment of propaganda and lies about the students and what they're doing, also deceptions about what the administration is doing. And the reason I'm so familiar with it is, of course, it ruined my opening. I couldn't have my opening at Elaine Jacob Gallery. I couldn't do my performance at Wayne Elaine Jacob Gallery because Wayne State got closed down days before I was flying to Detroit. And so that's, we're seeing, you know, you can comment on this, we're seeing a Islamophobic McCarthyite attack on university presidents in Congress, where they sit them down, they basically pound on them to say the word genocide so that they can, you know, say they're liars. And so now we have university presidents basically having to be genocide deniers and say, no, I'm not saying anything about genocide, when that is what everyone on campus, everyone in the world knows is going on. And, you know, the International Criminal Court, the International Court of Justice, the UN Special Rapporteur, Francesca Albanese's incredible report, The Anatomy of Genocide. And everyone I encourage to read the genocide definition, which is very simple. You know, it's attacking with the intent to destroy a population in part or in whole. So if they kill 15,000, you know, it can be a genocide. They don't have to kill everyone right away. Anyway, maybe, you know, we could play a little of the student and the professor's comments from Wayne State.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we should go. We should go right to that. It's just the amount of police crackdown.
Well, it's all hidden. You know, they've driven off every witness, and they've they shifted instead of cracking down that night, which everyone expected. They waited a day, so again, people wouldn't be around. The reporters wouldn't be around, and if you read the reports on, like, NBC and so forth, they talk about, you know, the situation is fluid. They make it sound like it's violent, like the students are disruptive. Totally untrue. If you go to any of these protests, they're love-ins. These are peaceniks. You know, in our era, the era of Vietnam genocide, you know, they're Christians, Jews, and Muslims in loving affiliation wanting to stop this corporate murder for land. And it's completely nonviolent. And it's also highly educational. It is absolutely appropriate that every university should have demonstrations, encampments, sit-ins, because it educates the students about how their university has been captured by financial interests that will wipe out a whole people for their financial gain. Students should know this. This should be common knowledge. This should be taught in elementary school. It's not complicated.
Well, so. I was just a brief story on my end over my week, and I was painting the church in downtown Great Barrington, and I hear this chanting going along, you know, a block away. I heard this whole sound system with chants, and I thought, oh, maybe it's a town hall, and I put down my paintbrush, stuck it in a bucket of water. I said, I got to go that way. And turns out it was a picket line, the old-fashioned, like, civil rights era picket line. People with signs walking in a long oval in front of Fuel Coffee on Main Street in Great Barrington, which also happens to be the place that I've got my coffee for over 25 years. The ownership has recently changed hands. Two friends of mine, a couple that owned it for a very long time, have sold the business, and which is now 90% owned by a gentrifying couple that happened to also be Zionists. And they, not just that, but they fired an employee because they found out he had attended a pro-Palestinian rally somewhere. And they had him, they had the manager fire this kid. And so they organized a bunch of people together, picketed right in front of Fuel on one of the busiest weekends in Great Barrington. And it was quite an amazing scene. Like, over 50 people turned out with a sound system and just, like, absolutely really, I think, embarrassed Fuel Coffee Company. But here's what was interesting to me, Wayne. They called in backup from three towns. There was the Sheffield police showed up fully armed. The West Stockbridge police showed up. There were over eight cop cars, and these guys came out just heavily armed, body armor, the whole thing. They blocked the traffic on one way on Main Street. It's four lanes of traffic. They blocked two of the lanes of traffic, even though the picket line was peacefully and lawfully on the sidewalk. And so what struck us mostly was the extreme police presence. Now, I thought, you know, maybe naively, I don't know, but I thought maybe they're there for a good cause, which is for the any counter-protesters that would show up. Now, two guys did show up, one with an American flag, one with an Israeli flag, and they were looking like they wanted a confrontation. I don't know. But the protest then moved over this, across the street to the town hall and ended peacefully there. So I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe they got wind of some violent, you know, pro-Israeli, pro-American troops, pro-American war counter-protesters, because those are the ones that have we seen in California and places that have been violent. But I don't know. Just it's just shocking to me. In Standing Rock and a lot of protests by Native Americans, you see like heavy weaponry and tanks and military personnel, because, you know.
It's like Richard Wolff, the economist, said.
So
he said, "Who are the police for?" He said, "If you own a company." Or if you own a building and if you own a company and they're trying to unionize a picket, pick up the phone and the violent people show up to drive off the workers. If you've got a tenant, you want to get rid of them, you call the police. You call the blue line and these violent guys come show up and they get your tenant out of your building. So the whole purpose of the police is the blue line for capitalists. Any other thought of what the police are is a TV instilled fantasy, like 1 out of 12, like the nonsense I watched growing up. So all you saw was, you know, the owner of fuel going, oh, I'm afraid, you know, and bing, all of a sudden he's got these very expensive cops.
Yeah.
You know?
So they showed up. But when, if I want to play a couple minutes, because we're about to hit the 5 o'clock hour. So thanks for calling in, and I'm going to play a couple minutes of this Wayne State University protest.
Thank you. Bye.
All right.
Their hijab pulled off and violation of all kinds of constitutional and legal rights. And this is not going to end here. We want them released. We want the university held accountable. We want this to end. Nobody is going away. President Epstein, nobody is leaving. This is just the beginning. So for everybody here, we know we're in this together. And to the students, you've always been at the front lines, and you're going to continue doing this. And the people in Gaza are counting on you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ali Hassan, and I am the president of the Muslim Coalition here at Wayne State University. Early morning on Thursday, May 30th, Wayne State police officers equipped with riot gear assaulted the Wayne State University encampment for Gaza, forcefully destroying its surrounding perimeter and arresting vulnerable protesters. Again, I want to emphasize vulnerable protesters. Wayne State administration, particularly President Espy, put out the sought to justify the brutality and racist attack on participating campers, resulting in numerous arrests of students and community members within the liberated zone by Zionist-trained members of the Wayne State Police Department. 11 people were arrested, including a medic who was on site to support any injuries sustained from police brutality, and a legal observer who served as a third party to record police actions. While infringing on the students' First Amendment rights to free speech and protest, police also engaged in forceful removal of hijabs.
Eleven people arrested in riot gear. This is Detroit, Michigan. This is not Israel. We don't do that here in the United States.